Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Peter King of NBC Sports. Also, check out his column that he does each and every week, but this one especially, Texans fans, Football Morning in America. Where he goes extensively about his experience with the Texans. And, Peter, this seems to be a brand new type of training camp. I know you have seen a lot of training camps. This has to be completely different than anything you've experienced. Can you kind of take us step by step of how different this was from your experience with the Texans?
Well, you know, look, we're all trying to do things a little bit different. We have no choice. And so one of the things that I really have wanted to do is, you know, in the last 2-3 weeks since training camp was about to kick off and then was about to start, I was basically looking for some team to allow me to tell the story of their training camp, you know, what it's really like, because it's so incredibly different. And so, I made a few phone calls, and Bill O'Brien and the Texans said that they would do it, sort of a day in the life of a training camp. And so I basically started with their infection control officer, you know, basically woke up at 4:30 last Thursday, checked his email on his phone, and basically found out he didn't have any positive tests. Took a deep breath of relief and basically went from there. Was on the phone with Bill O'Brien as he drove to work, and anyway, it ended about 10 o'clock that night, 10 o'clock Central Time, when a rookie named John Reed went to bed at the Residence Inn, about a 5-minute drive from the stadium. And I just tried to document everything that happened in between. And the really interesting thing, basically the weirdest thing that I think, if somebody says, well, what surprised you? And I said, well, what surprises me? Well, actually nothing in a year like this. But what really surprised me, honestly, is that the Houston Texans spend 1 hour a day together in training camp. 1 hour. Mm. One. And, you know, they have training camp activities all day, you know, basically starting when the rookies report for their COVID test at 5:45 a.m., you know, and it doesn't end until O'Brien and Jack Easterby walk out, maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock. And in the middle of that, they are together as a full squad from 2 to 3 p.m. That is it. And so that's how weird a thing this is this year in training camp in the NFL.
Peter, you've covered, I mean, a million different teams, a million different training camps, and been around all the different games for a long time, man. When you see that kind of training camp and what the Texans – are having to do, you got to assume that everybody around the league is doing something
yes.
similar.
Yes,
man,
that's right.
What do you think this does to the quality of play, the product that is the NFL, if indeed we do get to watch TV games on TV down the road? What does it do?
What a great question. I mean, I've been thinking about that. I thought about it all weekend as I sat and I was writing all these weird things. isn't it weird that here we are, and until, you know, on one of the first days they were together in late July, Randall Cobb, who's going to play a crucial role on this team, walked up to a guy, started talking to him about schemes and everything like that. He thought it was his offensive coordinator, but he wasn't positive and had to call him that night and say, hey, was that you I talked to today? I mean, you know, these guys are going to be working hand in glove this year. Imagine you walk up to somebody and because of the mask and because of the newness, they don't know each other. It's just all of it is very, very weird. And it was, it's truly, this story I wrote today is really one of the most enlightening slash weird stories I've written in a long time.
Peter King, NBC Sports, is with us. He followed the Texans around and got to see a day in the life of training camp with the Texans. In your opinion, from what you were able to experience with the Texans, if most of the league is handling things the way the Texans are, do you think that it would put the NFL in a much better chance to be able to get at least to the start of their season without having any issues like baseball is having?
Great question. And that's really, honestly, that's the only question that matters. I've heard people say, oh, my God, the quality of play this year is really going to suffer, and I start laughing. And I said, listen, let's just try to get play, period. You know, let's just forget about quality of, and again, I don't mean this literally, but, you know, health of players this year and readiness of players, available of players, to me, is far more important than the quality of play. We're going to see some funny things. Maybe not, you know, teams might not think it's funny, but we are going to see some things that really don't work all that well. But, about 2-3 weeks ago, an executive in the NFL said to me, we were talking, and I've had this opinion all along, you know, this is going to be an uncomfortable season. This is going to be a season of, you know, where everything isn't fair. Some team is really going to get jobbed. Some team might have an outbreak in its community, and local government might say, no sporting events, period, in our community. You got to go play somewhere else. So that team might have to play on the road for 6 weeks. I don't know. I'm just making that up. You just don't know. You do not know what's going to happen this year. But I guess my point is this executive said to me, and I thought it was hilarious. He said, this is the kind of year that you're going to wake up the day after the Super Bowl. This is a guy who fervently believes the season will be played. You're going to wake up the day after the Super Bowl, and the Detroit Lions will have won the Super Bowl. And he didn't mean that to dog the Lions. He just means that a team that nobody expects to win the Super Bowl is going to win it. And I think really when you think about it, you know, that is what we were totally, totally set up to do and set up to be. It's going to be a strange, strange year.
Peter, is just listening to you, in light of what's happened and seeing how Major League Baseball's handled things, the NBA and NHL has handled things, is there any chance? We've all heard there's no way, there's too many players. Is there any chance that the NFL could go to some kind of a bubble to try to protect their players and their season?
I mean, never say never. You don't know, but you know, I've tried to explain this to people about bubbles, okay? So, you know, in the NHL, basically, they were going away for however long it's going to be, the furthest it'll be, or the longest the team will be away, you know, is whatever, 2.5 months maybe. Basketball the same way. The vast majority of the NBA teams either are not going away or are going to be in that bubble for, you know, less than 2 months. I think 22 teams of the 30 are going to be away for less than 2 months. And the difference really in football is that if you ask a team to go into a bubble, you're asking a team to go away from their family for 5 months, period. And you are asking not maybe 25 or 30 people like you would with the Houston Rockets. I have no idea how many people are in their group, including players. But you are asking, you know, essentially 100 people to go away from every team. And not only would all those 100 people go away from every team, but most would go away for about 5 months. Some who go to the Super Bowl would go away for 6 months. I just don't know that you can get 32 to 3,500 people to disappear, basically almost on a moment's notice, from their families. I mean, look, I'm just asking this question theoretically. If all the teams went to a bubble now, let's say an American city that had places that they could find training facilities, you know, in the area, enough for 32 entities, 32 teams, maybe Houston, maybe Dallas. You know, do you think that, let's just say for the sake of argument, that Matthew Stafford, whose wife has had cancer, you know, who's got, I think, 4 kids, you think he's going to say, bye, honey, I'll see you in 5 months? It's just, I think it's unrealistic to expect that all of these teams would be able to field an optimal team. And I kind of doubt they'd be able to do that.
Peter, you mentioned in your article, because I know my fiance, she'd have my bags packed, Chief. I'm going to tell you, she'd have my bags packed and a foot
people,
in the middle.
And some people would, because some people either are bachelors or don't have that sort of family obligation. But
right. Well, JJ, you had some time. I guess you spoke to JJ Watt about some of this stuff throughout your article, man. One thing I thought he said that was powerful was, you've already mentioned, was that he believes that week one will happen because the team has control of you know, the whole group moving forward. And once they start meeting other teams and having the physicality that's involved in the NFL, it'll change the game a little bit. How much were you able to pull from your conversations with Bill O'Brien and JJ Watt and what you saw? Did it give you confidence that these guys, twofold, one, that they'll get deeper than week one, but two, that the Texans are handling this as well as any team in the league?
I think there's a lot of teams that are handling it great. I can't, it's hard for me to compare, because if you said to me, hey, what are the things the Dallas Cowboys are doing? I have no idea. I've done zero reporting on it. So all I do know that, you know, as of Sunday, the Houston Texans had given their 180 members of their organization, players, coaches, staff, 180 members, 11 COVID tests each. Okay, that adds up to 1,980 COVID tests. The Texans have zero positive tests, according to Amy Palsik, their vice president of communications. She checked for me. Zero positive COVID tests out of 1,980. Now, there could be three or four other teams that are also throwing perfect games right now. I don't know, but I do know that, in my opinion, especially in a hot spot, you've got to give the Texans credit. And you have to understand, at least in my opinion, how difficult all of this is, just because you're asking every person in your organization to make these sacrifices, you know, to even to a sidewalk cafe, don't go out to eat with your wife, you know, just basically be a monk, you know, essentially for the next 5 months. And there's a good chance that the team that does that the best is going to have a chance to play deep into January.
Peter King, NBC Sports, is with us. Peter, I got to get your opinion on this, because I've been really thinking about this, and you spent some time with Bill O'Brien and before this year. Do you think the reputation of Bill O'Brien around the league in media spaces is fair, given the amount of success that he has had? And even as a general manager, it's not like he's bringing back bad football players on the team. There have been some high-profile moves with Clowney and Hopkins. But do you think Bill O'Brien's reputation is fair?
Well, I'm not really – I can't say that I call up, say, Sean Payton and say, what do you think of Bill O'Brien and what do you think of his reputation? I mean, I might be talking about certain people around the league, but that's not really what I do that much. But I will just say this. Look, I do think that there were a lot of extenuating circumstances in the DeAndre Hopkins trade, but overall I didn't like the return on that trade. I just didn't think they got enough. And on the Laremy Tunsil trade, I actually thought that trade was extremely understandable, with one exception. They should have made a, they should have gotten a contract done before that trade was made official. They would have saved, I don't know what, maybe $3 million a year on the cap long term. And so that's my, those two, my two only issues, you know, with O'Brien. And again, I'm not, I am not around this team every day, so I can't tell. There's a good chance that Bill O'Brien would have two or three inside stories about why he only got a two for DeAndre Hopkins. And why, for instance, and obviously you got David Johnson, but, and why, for instance, why other guys in the league, and why say that, you know, the Jets got two ones for Jamal Adams. It's, you know, there are reasons that all these things happen, but, you know, I'm just not around the team and around the organization enough to know everything about why those trades, both those trades happened the way they did.
Peter, let's take why out of the conversation here, and just look at the Texans from a 30,000-foot view, in your opinion. Obviously, Kansas City's leading the way here. Baltimore's not far behind the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the Texans are in a conversation somewhere below those guys. With all the moves that were made, the Randall Cobb added, Brandon Cooks added, Will Fuller, if he can stay healthy, J.J. Watt, if he can stay healthy, Deshaun Watson, if he can take that step from year three to year four. Those are a lot of ifs out there, Peter. Sorry about that. But I mean, do you see the Texans being able to take that next step and to join the group of the Baltimore Ravens and everybody else nipping at the heels of the Kansas City Chiefs?
I don't personally. I mean, I think they're a good team, but I don't think they're on Baltimore or Kansas City's level. Then again, you know, I don't think any teams in the AFC are right now. Now, you know, I think after last year, you have to look at the Tennessee Titans and you have to really cast an admiring eye on what Mike Vrabel has done there. And with, look, everything went right for the Titans in the last month of the season last year. They caught New England when New England started 8-0, but after Halloween, the Patriots had a worse record than the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, Tennessee caught them at the right time, and the Patriots weren't very good in the first week of January. And then, you know, the Texans, obviously, you know, they basically steamrolled Baltimore. And I'd say they came within two or three series of it coming right down to the last play or two, you know, to against Kansas City. They played well for about 40 minutes against Kansas City. So I guess I would look at all that and say every team's got a lot of ifs. Ryan Tannehill had the best passer rating in football since 2013 last year. Who on God's green earth saw that coming? So I need to see Ryan Tannehill do it over 16 weeks. First of all, I need to see if Derrick Henry can take that pounding that he took late in the season for 4 months and not 1 month and not 6 weeks, you know. So those are the kind of things that are going to tell the tale of this season. The Texans are very, very capable of doing this, but you say the exact thing. I mean, you know, you certainly can't assume that either J.J. Watt or Will Fuller, each of whom is a top 10 important player on the Houston Texans, you can't look at their track records and say, yep, you know, I'm assuming we're getting 15 or 16 games out of those guys. You just can't do it. And so, you know, again, I do think I really love the acquisition of Brandon Cooks. I definitely think Randall Cobb has got a couple of good years left in him. So I think they're going to be good enough on offense, assuming they get, let's say, 10 games out of Fuller. But I think they've got very, very good competition. And if Philip Rivers plays fairly mistake-free football, and I don't know if he will or not. I think those three teams, all three teams, you know, basically Indianapolis, Tennessee, Houston, I'd almost flip a three-sided coin to see who wins the division.
Peter King, NBC Sports, thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate your insight.
No problem, guys. Enjoyed it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.